theme of the sermon this morning is called Choices. There are two brothers, Edwin and John. Edwin was an actor of the stage in the late 1800s, an amazing Shakespearean actor. In 1863, the brothers united their talents to perform the play Julius Caesar. Now, John, who played the assassin in Julius Caesar, is the same John who took that role of assassin in Ford's Theater. On a crisp April night in 1865, he stole quietly into the rear of a box in the Washington Theater and fired a bullet at the head of President Abraham Lincoln. Yes, the last name of the brothers was Booth, Edwin Thomas Booth and John Wilkes Booth. You see, Edwin was never the same after that night. Shame from his brother's crime drove him into retirement. He might never have returned to the stage had it not been for a twist of fate at a New Jersey train station many years later. While Edwin was waiting for his train, a well-dressed young man pressed by the crowd lost his footing and fell between the platform of the moving train. Without hesitation, Edwin Booth locked a leg around the railing, grabbed the man, and pulled him to safety. And after the sighs of relief, the young man recognized the famous Edwin Booth. Edwin, however, did not recognize the man that he had just rescued. That knowledge came many weeks later in a letter. A letter from General Adams Badeau, Chief Secretary to General Ulysses S. Grant. A letter thanking Edwin Booth for saving the life of the child of an American hero, Abraham Lincoln. How ironic that while one brother killed the president, the other brother saved the president's son. The boy that Edwin Booth saved that night or that day was Robert Todd Lincoln. Edwin and John Booth, same father, same mother, same profession and passion in much of life. Yet one chooses life, the other chose death. How could it happen? I don't know, but it does. It happens each and every day in the world that we live in. You see, though their story is dramatic, it's not very unique. You can pick up the paper any day and see all kinds of things about it. You can pick up this book and read all kinds of things about it. Abel and Cain, both sons of Adam and Eve. Abel chooses God, and Cain chooses murder, and God lets him. Abraham and Lot, both pilgrims in Canaan. Abraham chooses God, and Lot chooses Sodom, and God lets it. David and Saul, both kings of Israel. David chooses God, but guess what? Saul chooses power, and God lets him. It took them both a while to get there, but they did. Peter and Judas both deny their Lord. But guess what? Peter seeks mercy, and Judas seeks death, and God lets him. You see, in every age of history, on every page of Scripture, the truth is revealed. God allows us to make our own choices. And no one delineates this more clearly than Jesus. According to Him, we can choose. Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14 says we can choose a narrow gate or a wide gate. We can choose a narrow road or a wide road. We can choose the big crowd or the small crowd. We can choose to, as it says in Matthew's Gospel, the 24th and 27th verses of chapter 7, to build on rock or sand. Serve God or serve riches. Be numbered among the sheep or be numbered amongst the goats. I don't know about you, but I'm not real fond of goats. Then they, those who rejected God, will go away to eternal punishment. But the righteous will go away to eternal life, he tells us in Matthew 25, 26. God gives eternal choices. And these choices have eternal consequences. Isn't this the reminder of Calvary's trio? Ever wonder why they were two crosses next to Christ? Why not six or ten? Ever wonder why Jesus was in the center? Why not on the far right or the far left? Could it be that the two crosses on the hill symbolize one of God's greatest gifts, the gift of choice? You see, there are two criminals. They have so much in common. Convicted by the same system, condemned to the same death, surrounded by the same crowd of people, equally close to the same Jesus. In fact, they begin with the sarcasm that we find in the 27th chapter, verse 44. The two criminals say cruel things to Jesus, but guess what? One of them changed. One of them changed. You see, much has been said about the prayer of the penitent thief on the cross, and it certainly warrants our admiration. But while we rejoice at the thief who changed, dare we forget the one who did not? What about him, Jesus? What about him? Wouldn't a personal invitation be appropriate? Wouldn't a word of persuasion be timely? Does not the shepherd leave the 99 and pursue the lost one? Does not the housewife sweep the house until the lost coin is found? Yes, the shepherd does. Yes, the housewife does. But the father of the prodigal, we need to remember, does nothing. You see, the sheep was lost innocently. The coin was lost irresponsibly. But the prodigal son left intentionally. He left on his own accord. He made a choice. You see, the father in that story that we remember from Scripture gave him the choice. Jesus gave both criminals on the cross the same choice. There are times when God sends thunder to stir us. There are times when God sends blessings to lure us. But then there are times when God sends nothing but silence, and He honors us with the freedom to choose where we will spend eternity. So many times people will say, well, you know, I have asked and I have asked and I have asked. I've prayed and God does nothing. God doesn't do anything. God's not listening to me. God's not answering my prayers. Think about what He does. He sends the thunder to stir up our emotions sometimes, to get us to thinking. He sends people along our way to be blessings in our lives, to lure us in, to remember. But there are times when He sends nothing but silence our way. What are we supposed to do in that silence? We're supposed to be still and remember that He is God. To be still and to listen, to wait for an answer. To be a little more patient, to be a little more understanding. To read God's Word and expecting something in return. Expecting Him to give us an answer in His time and in His way. You see, but there are those times that God is silent. And He honors us with the freedom and the choice to choose where that you and I will spend eternity. He lets us make that decision. And what an honor it is. In so many areas of life, we have no choice. Think about it. You did not choose your gender. You did not choose your siblings. Sometimes we all can say, yeah, we know. We love them, but sometimes they're a pain. You did not choose your race. You did not choose your place of birth. Sometimes our lack of choices angers us. We say it's not fair. It's not fair that we were born into poverty. It's not fair that I couldn't sing. It's not fair that so-and-so looks better than I do. It's not fair that I run slow. I mean, the list goes on, and I hear people say the most ridiculous things. And I say them too. But the scales of life were forever tipped on the side of fairness when God planted a tree in the Garden of Eden. All complaints were silenced when Adam and his descendants were given free will, the freedom to make whatever eternal choice we desire. Any injustice in this life is offset by the honor of choosing our destiny in the next. Wouldn't you agree? Would you have it? Would you have wanted it otherwise? Would you have preferred the opposite? Would you like to choose everything in this life and let God choose where you spend the next? You choose the size of your nose. I have some cousins that have big noses and long noses, and they go, "My Lord, I sure didn't pick this thing." But would you choose the size of your nose, the color of your hair, or your DNA structure, and then let God choose where you spend eternity? Is that what you would prefer? You see, I kind of like it the other way around, because we don't have those choices. We deal with what we are given. And then the big choice is we have the decision to make. When it comes to life on earth, you and I weren't given a vote. But when it comes to life after death, we were. We were given a vote. We were given the biggest vote. In my book, that seems like a real good deal. I hope that you will agree. Do you need to make a choice this day? Do you need to choose whom you will serve? Do you need to choose if you will serve? We all have choices. We all have the same amount of time. We all live in the same world. But it's what we choose to do. It's what we choose to say, "Yeah, I'll be a part of that." I hear it all the time from people in families, in churches, in communities. "Oh, I just don't have the time. I can't do that." They've got just as much time as anybody else. We're all given the same amount. It's how we choose to use it. Some of us use it wisely. Some of us use it foolishly. Sometimes we sit around all day long and do absolutely nothing. I haven't had one of those days in a while, but I'd like to try. But I do hear that people do that from time to time. They do absolutely nothing. Think about it. Then there are those who work themselves into an oblivion. They've got to be busy 24/7. They can't do anything. They don't have time for family. They don't have time for friends. They don't have time for anything but work. You know what happens when you retire and work is over? All them people that you work for all that time could care less. And about 5 minutes after you're gone, they'll forget you. Think about those things that are going to be the ones that matter. Those choices, those decisions you make into serving the Lord and to serving Him with gladness. A choice to get up on Sunday morning and come to worship, or a choice to lay in the bed. We all make a choice each and every day. We all make a choice each and every week. Think about what you choose to do, how you choose to serve. Some choose to hang on to things that have been over a lifetime ago and they can't move past it. Others choose to let it go and live each day. We all have choices. What's your choice going to be? Let us pray. Lord, I thank You for Your word this day, for Your gift of life, for the choices that we have. I ask this day, Lord, that You open up our hearts and our minds to choose You each and every day, to serve You in all that we do. Hold us close now. Bless our time, for it is in Your Son's name I pray. Amen.